Lord, as we read this morning the story of the fall, Lord, we know there's a great tragedy in that story. And also, Lord, we speak of great triumph today, too, through Jesus Christ. Lord, may you bring this word to life. And as Al said, may you make sure that we're not funnels today. Lord, may it stick to us. May your Holy Spirit teach us something new. May you open our hearts, our minds, and souls to receive your teaching in our lives. Lord, may you fill me with that same Holy Spirit, that these words are yours and not mine. In Jesus I pray, amen. I have a show that I'm going to show you here in just a little bit, but it's going to date some of you, because it's well before my time, and some of you are going to be like, I don't even know what this is. But how many of you remember this show on TV? Yeah, Mr. Ed, it aired in the 60s. How many of you, can you raise your hands a little higher if you remember this show? Yeah. All right, we're not making fun of you or anything like that today, but you're older. You know this show. Now, Mr. Ed was about a talking horse, and it ran, and I'm going to talk about something, too, that maybe the younger generation doesn't understand. It ran on prime time, all right? If you know what prime time means, good for you. But if you don't, go home and ask Grandpa and Grandma. They'll tell you what prime time means. But this show ran on prime time in the 60s, and it was about a talking horse, and I'm not sure how they did that. There's different theories of how they got the horse to talk. Some say that it was by peanut butter in the gums. Others said it was by electrical shock that they gave the horse that it would move. But you can go home and Google it if you really want to know. But here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. God did not intend for animals to speak to you and I, right? We find a couple isolated stories in Scripture. If you know the story of Balaam and his donkey, the donkey talked to Balaam. And then we know of one story we just read this morning about the serpent who spoke to Eve. That's the story I want to talk to you about this morning. And so we get to Genesis 3, verse 1. And Colin, you might have to help me out here this morning. My clicker's still not working quite right today. 3, verse 1. Now follow along. I want you to look at the detail this morning, that the words we are looking at in these verses and how they play out. It's very important throughout the sermon today. You're going to see little things you maybe haven't seen before. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Now, another word we could use for crafty would be clever. All right? Satan is very wise. He's wiser than you and I. He's crafty. He's clever. And so when the serpent spoke, it made sense to Eve. Some way Satan manipulated that snake or whatever it was to be able to talk to Eve. And Eve understood what the snake was saying. And they had this conversation that we read in the first part of chapter 3. Now here's my question. Why wasn't Eve shocked? If you go home today and your dog or your cat starts to talk to you, you're probably going to be a little caught off guard, right? No? So why would Eve not be just like, whoa, why is this snake talking to me? And here's why I think why. Because you're in this new creation, and she's just trying to take it all in. We're looking at day what, maybe? You know, so we went through the 7 days of creation. I was reading this past week. We don't know for sure, but they think the fall happened maybe day 8 to day 10. They're living in the garden with God. Satan shows up. He's clever with this snake, and he has this conversation with Eve. And so Eve's just flabbergasted, along with Adam, with the beauty that's around them. They've been given life. Everything is new. They don't know what's right and what's wrong yet. Have you ever been in that place in life where you just don't understand everything? And then after you're there a little while, you begin to pick up on things. How many of you have gone to a new city and you can't find your way around for nothing, but then you're there by the end of the week and you've got it figured out, right? The same thing with the garden, I think. Eve was not caught off guard because the serpent was talking to her, because she might have thought that this might be normal. That's what I believe happened to Eve here. The snake, the serpent, was very clever. So they're taking it in. And by the way, to this point, everything is good, right? End of chapter 2, everything is good. And then Satan's first words to Eve, they come in a form of a question. Right, here's the question. Did God really say, do you get it? Do you see? Did God really say, and then he goes on, you must not eat from any tree in the garden. The first thing that Satan did was question God's word in an attempt to do what? Create doubt. Eve, do you think that's really what he said? Eve, do you think that's really what he meant? Are you sure? He created doubt in Eve's mind. And so I believe that doubt can sometimes lead to unbelief. And I've shared with you before from this pulpit that sometimes we doubt as Christians, don't we? That is normal. But our goal is that when we start to doubt, we always go back to the Word of God to disclaim and to push away our doubt. But you're going to find doubt in the world that you and I live in today. And so we have Eve that is beginning to doubt. And of course, that might lead to unbelief. Satan's goal was to get Eve to a place of doubt. That's his goal. And here's what I want to warn you about today. Satan will still use that deception with you and I today. He's very well alive. He's very active in the world that we live in today. So notice the subtle twist on words that I want to bring out here this morning. He said, you must not eat from any tree. Now notice he said any in there. This is what God said to Adam. Notice how it's just slightly different. All right? You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan deliberately misquotes God's word to make it seem unfair by using the word any tree, meaning like all of them. Like, seriously, this is God told you that you can't eat from any of them? Right? That doubt begins to form in her mind. And so you need to be careful. I need to be careful because people still today misquote the word of God all the time. Satan still uses that trick today to make it seem like God's word is untrue to you and I. Satan's good at that in your mind. And I don't have this verse on the screen, but I think it's on your outline. If you don't have it, write it down because you need to know this verse out of 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Here's what it says to you and I this morning. And by the way, this is active. He calls you to do this in your life. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. And get this, this is your job right here. And who correctly handles the word of truth. What he says to that young Timothy in the New Testament, what he says to you and I is you better know and you better understand the word of God because Satan's going to come at you every day with lies and to cast doubt and to give you unbelief. He's coming at you every day. And you need to know the Bible, the Word of God, like the back of your hand. That's what Timothy says. Because the one who's against you is way more clever than you. And you have to be ready. You got the tools. You got the ability through the Holy Spirit. You got everything you need. And so I want to encourage you this morning that you know and that you understand the Word of God. Now jump with me here to the next couple verses. Now we have to assume a few things here, Genesis 3, verse 2 and 3. So I'm assuming that Adam must have had a conversation with Eve about the tree because she tells the serpent about what God said to Adam. All right, you following with me this morning? So they must have had a conversation between the two of them somewhere here after day 7 about this tree that they're supposed to stay away from. And here's how it goes. The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Right? And then Satan tells her an outright lie. Verse 4, you will not certainly die. Right? Did they die when they ate the apple that day? What did I teach you last week? They did. How did they die? They didn't die physically. They died spiritually, right? You see, and that's where Satan twisted it. You will not surely die, right? He was talking about a physical death. The trap was set. And what they didn't realize is that the moment they took that fruit, they would die spiritually. In a little bit, we're going to talk about a type of sin. And I want you to know that the moment that you're born, you are spiritually dead. Do you get that? Because you're born into sin. Now, we can talk about other theological points within the mix of that, as far as the ages of accountability and that type of a thing. But what I want you to know is that you are dead because of your sins. Right? And we get to talk about the good news, too, of Jesus Christ. But this is the lie that he tells people today, and he told Eve that day. Right? And then he goes on to say this, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Does Satan still lie to us today? People of God? All the time. Does Satan twist the word of God to cast doubt and bring us unbelief? Does Satan use people today to tell lies about God in this world that you and I live in? And I can answer that yes, yes, and yes. Those things are going to continue to happen in the world that you and I live in today. Expect that. And then what does Satan tell Eve? If you eat it, you'll be like God. That's what he said. Satan's the master manipulator. Right? Because your sinful nature, my sinful nature, says that I can be my own person. I can be my own God in my own world, right? I can pull myself up by my bootstraps and I can get through life. That's what our sinful nature teaches us and tells us. We want to build our own kingdom, don't we? In our lives. We want to make a name for ourselves. We want to be dependent on no one. That's what our sinful nature tells us. And that's exactly where Satan desires for you to live. Because you're not dependent upon God as creator. You live apart from God. And we might ask our questions of ourselves from time to time then. Why do I need God? I have everything I need in life, right? Most of us in this church have everything we need in life. You'll go home to a meal today. You got a place to sleep. You have a job. You have some money. You can survive. And that's the fight within. The world says, this is how you should live. Take care of yourself. Right? And God says we should live a totally different way. Holy, set apart from the things in this world. Most of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't, you're probably not aware because you're still your own God. You don't got it figured out yet. And I pray that you do get that figured out. This is exactly why we see the issues we see today in our world. Because everybody wants to be their own God. Everybody wants to be in control of their own lives. And I'm going to make one more statement that's even a little bit tougher, and you see it and you'll know. People do what is right in their own eyes when there's no authority to tell them what is right and wrong. Anything goes, doesn't it? Anything goes. talk about that original sin a little bit this morning. And for some of you, it might be, Colin, can you bump the next slide for me? For some of you, it might be a review, but maybe you're here this morning and I don't get it. I don't understand. What do you mean by original sin? And so let's talk about the verse, and then we'll talk about what that looks like. Genesis 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, right? That nice, desirable apple was there, and she was hungry. And then also desirable for gaining wisdom, meaning that this is going to make me smart, right? Brain food. And she took it and she ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And of course, we know that they disobeyed God. There was nothing wrong with the fruit. It was good. But they disobeyed God, and the moment they disobeyed God, they fell. Sin entered the world, and we call that sin original sin, and the earth that we live in today is filled with sinful things and sinful people, right? And the moment you're born, we are born into that sinful world. And you have no chance to escape it except for one way, through Jesus Christ. That's original sin. Adam and Eve's nature, the way they were created, was good. But the moment they ate that apple, their nature, their human being, became evil against the ways of God. Our nature's the same way. You and I have a natural desire to sin. I always love the, you know, you listen to different pastors and they talk about, you know, do you ever have to teach your kids to be ornery? Right? Anita's up here laughing. She knows what that's like with young ones in the house. You don't have to teach that, do you? I mean, do you have to teach your kids bad words so they'll say them to their friends at school? No. They pick it up, don't they? Because they are naturally sinners, just like you and I. We have a tendency to move away from God and to do those things that we're not supposed to do. There's a sin problem in the world today. And so let me ask you this question. How did Adam and Eve know they had a sin problem? Look at the next verse with me. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. Because evil entered the world. They knew they had a sin problem, didn't they? And I love what it says next. What's the first thing they tried to do? Cover up, right? Can you imagine what that must have been looking like when they found out that they were naked? You know, they're like, oh my gosh, look at us. Grab the sewing machine, get the fig leaves. Come on, we got to cover ourselves, right? Don't we do the same thing with sin? Don't you try to keep it in the dark? Don't you, you don't want to tell anybody about it, right? We do the same thing. We get the fig leaves out and we try to cover ourselves all up, right? And they knew there was a sin problem. They tried to cover their shame and their guilt. And you and I do the same thing when we sin. How many of you think that we can deal with our sin problem on our own? You know, if I'm just good enough, you know, I'm a little bit better than my neighbor. You know, I think I'm good, better than him when we compare ourselves. And let me just share something with you this morning. I have a verse here. Let's see here. I think maybe the next slide. There we go. Yep. This is what I want you to know about the state that we're in, okay? Isaiah 64, verse 6 says this. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. That means that you can't do enough good in this world to get rid of your sin, all right? Now, most of you know that I come from the farm, and once in a while in my shop, I like to use old rags. How many of you have this at home? Changing oil and stuff like that? I just, Yeah, get Bryce, you smell this morning. All right, what do you think? Grease, oil, maybe some cattle manure in it, right? But here's the point I want you to make. This shirt was white, by the way. But here's the point I want to make to you this morning. If you can see up there, if you need to stand, you stand. But here's the point I want to make. Even me as a pastor looks like this without Christ. Do you see it? You are no different than me. So when original sin entered the world, and if you're living without Christ, this is you today. Right here. Smell it, Chris. You know what? I don't think enough fig leaves will cover this. Right? You want to wear it home today? She might not, yeah. What do you think, Kyle? See, but what the picture I want to leave you with today, right here, this is who we are. Next week, we come to the table, and I don't have a nice white clean shirt today to give you an example. Maybe I'll bring one next week. But this is how you come to the table, right? Dirty, stained, it smells, right? Just look at it. We're born into this. And then God, the Lord, sends a Savior through Jesus Christ to take all this away when you give your life to Christ. And here's my point today. When Adam and Eve saw that they had sinned, they went and tried to make fig leaves. Can you imagine if it's 100 degrees out and you get 3 or 4 days into fig leaves, how well that might have worked? Right? How many of you rake leaves in the fall when they're all dried out and gristly and stuff like that? Right? They don't cover very much, very long, do they? But then go to verse 21 with me this morning. This is why I threw 21 in there. Because I couldn't leave you on this note. I'm going to lay this right over here. Because I think it's a good analogy, even through baptism. The promise is coming of the solution to our sin problem. Verse 21 says this. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. That's an act of love. That spoke to Adam and Eve in such a way that God said to them, I don't care what you did wrong, I still love you. There's some Bible scholars that believed we know that this is the first killing of an animal right here, a sacrifice. That this sacrifice of the blood was made for the sins, that God made these skin coverings. And these skin coverings are going to last a lot longer than those fig leaves. And some believe that this care that God provided for Adam and Eve and this sacrifice that God provided for Adam and Eve to cover their sins eventually shows us a picture of Jesus Christ. For you and I. And notice the coverings. They cover the shameful parts of their body. And that's exactly what Jesus does with our sin. Amen to that? That's what it's about today, right? Jesus covers the shameful acts of our sin. And I have another verse I want to share with you out of Isaiah that's a promise for you and I. And here's what it says in the bottom of the screen, 61 verse 10. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. When you give your life to Christ, I mean, the prophet Isaiah, he got it, he understood it, he realized who God was. And this is my hope for you today, that when you leave here today, that you understand that you are sinful, dirty, right? And that you understand you need Jesus Christ in your life. And that you understand that you know how important it is that you know the Word of God. Because Satan's going to twist it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We read the story of Adam and Eve and how they disobeyed. Lord, we are no different. We disobey as well. Lord, help us to see our need for Jesus today, our brokenness, our filth, our smell. Lord, the sin that we carry with us. Lord, we prayed for that sin to depart us today. We asked for forgiveness. Lord, and you promised to forgive us through the work of Christ. May we get that in our soul today. May we understand that deep down within. Lord, you continue to do a great work in us. Lord, I pray for the person that's out there today that is on the fence about who this Jesus Christ is. Lord, may you push them off in a way that they realize their need for Christ and who they are. Lord, I pray for us that have been walking with the Lord for a long time. Those that have given their lives years ago, may you give us a fresh spirit today to take hold of your word and the life that we're called to live here in this world. May you bless us as we continue to walk with you. May we be obedient people. And I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.